Tennessee. Lord, I've really been real stressed, down and out, losing ground.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, here we go. Final hour of the show. Nick is up on a way back Wednesday for the year 1992. And as Nick said a few breaks back, he's absolutely right. Unlike, what was it, whatever, 1960, whatever we had that absolutely sucked.
1980, I think, sucked.
Whatever. 92 was a good year.
92 was a really good year for music.
No question
about it. Horseshoes! That's the only thing about the song that weirds me out. It's just in the middle of nowhere, they yell horseshoes.
Some people look
Here's
for,
the thing.
Some people use lawn darts. Some people use horseshoes.
But here, we make fun of millennials and mumble rappers, but we forget that there was a rap song that came out in the golden era of hip-hop in 1992, where at some point in the middle of the song, someone just yells horseshoes for no reason. Horseshoes! And then they keep rap. Like, that. We shouldn't be so mean to the millennial hip-hop era.
It's actually grown on me. Not necessarily mumble rap, but like songs that are not necessarily the best on lyrics, but has really good production, which is a lot now.
Some of the beats are good. Yeah. I'm not
going
to lie.
Beats are really good. So, I mean, it's growing on me. I think music, I mean, if you really like music and you really like hip hop, you'll grow to love a lot. Sometimes it just takes 27 listens. That's all. But other
that
than
new
that,
song, that song that I got you to play yesterday by Tech N9ne.
Yeah.
Don't Nobody Want None. Everyone listening should go add that song to their rotation if you like hip hop, because it's a good old school and new school song. I when I found it, I was like, oh my gosh, somebody actually released a good hip hop song in today's hip hop environment and rap environment. Tech N9ne's Don't Nobody Want None. Check that out. It's really good. We'll be playing it again, I'm sure. I'll remind you,
or force you, as the case may be.
Or remind.
He really did like that song. I played it yesterday. I can include it in the rotation. I got some heat when you were gone, Barry, for playing that Magic song. You know, I got the magic in me, that song. By the Weezer guy.
Just want to hear you
sing. River, well, who gave something. You heat for that?
I don't know. Somebody on the text line just said, would you please stop playing that song? So I guess I have to like update the rotation.
You don't have to do anything just because they say so. We've got a lot of idiots on Twitter.
But I've always been like that. I feel like with radio, you have like a rotation of like 8 to 10, 12 songs, and then
you play those songs for a while.
And then you rotate 12 or 20 songs later, like 6 months down the road.
We should split it up. We should split it up. If we should at least get like, okay, you're saying, all right, I'm going to update all the songs, so we need 24 new songs. Then let Joel and I give you two, and then each, and then you pick the rest.
Oh, I got a vote. Nick with the win.
For the rotation.
On Way Back Wednesday, I got one vote.
You only played one song.
Doesn't matter. I got the
win. You submitted
two
songs. You played one.
Oh, yeah, I played one song.
Yeah, thank you.
I submitted eight.
You played one,
and you got
a win. I submitted
eight, sir.
This is, again, we run the gamut and the spectrum in terms of listeners. So, okay, You got the short end of the stick out of the way early.
How many votes did I get on text line? Are you guys going to both hide that from me?
No, right.
Barry
no
got
one
sensitive,
voted.
So he's handling the text.
No one has voted.
713-780-ESPN 713-780-3776.
Vote Nick. Put the lawn sign out next week.
When I start saying that, no one votes for me though.
Get the lawn sign.
You got to play the humble card if you want to get the votes.
Oh, is that how you
that's
do
right.
it?
That's right.
That's what I feel like.
All right.
But nobody's humble on this show.
Oh my God.
Oh, what? I'm the most humble guy you've ever met in your whole life.
Champ.
Neither
okay.
one of you.
I am the best at being humble. I'm the best at being humble.
Okay.
I'm so good at being humble, it's ridiculous.
Not that you're giving yourself even more credit for that.
You're the one who picked the
oh,
theme.
Oh, really? Joel, did you pick up on the joke?
No,
1992,
I didn't.
The year I graduated. That's
Let me get
humble.
On Twitter, Barry. I'm going to get on that. Okay. Good news, by the way, out of the statement from former President George H.W. Bush, who after... going through all that he must have gone through last weekend, burying Barbara. He had been admitted to the hospital And the reason I bring it up on this show, not to be political or anything else, thankfully he was moved from intensive care at Houston's Methodist Hospital to a regular patient room. And the greatest thing about this is in the press release is that he naturally thanks everyone for their prayers and good wishes. He wants to assure everyone that as good as he feels now, he's more focused on the Rockets closing out their playoff series against the Wolves.
Nice.
That's awesome. That dude
squeezing
is awesome.
A little go Astros, did he? No.
It just says, no, he just, more than anything that landed him in the hospital, he's just more interested in the Rockets closing out the Wolves.
Okay.
And he's a huge good. Astros fan, so we know that. And by the way, yeah, it's 4-0 still. Verlander still tossing for the Astros, and that means the ERA going down. That dude is doing what he's supposed to do. It's what there they brought him here for.
Somebody had a question for us. Any chance the Texans try to trade into the second round? And if so, who do you guys think would still be there that would fit the scheme, and who would they give up? Boy,
that's a long question, and that's a lot of innuendo that I'm not sure that we're... Yeah, that's a lot to ask for. Because you got to figure out what the going rate is, and the going rate is determined by the needs of either the person that has to get rid of or wants to get rid of a pick, or the team, I should say, and the team that's after the pick, in this case, the Texans. I heard Raheel and John and Lance and those guys trying to figure it out this morning, and Raheel was saying, would you give up one of your threes and next year's two to get into the second round this year? I think that's too much. I think they'll explore it, and I think it's more about, is there a player that they've really targeted that is there, and then do they have a trade partner that they know, i.e. the Browns, that they know that they can make a deal with because they've had success in the past where they can try and make something happen. But I think the most important thing is there a player that they identify that being available as someone that they want that can help them?
Yeah, there's a couple of options to move into the second round. You've got the Colts have three picks, I believe, in round two. The Browns have three picks in round two. Moving into the bottom half, getting a 60 through 64, something like that, doesn't necessarily help you. But with the Browns having 33 and 35, the Colts having 36 and 37, you might be able to work a deal with one of those teams, mm-hmm. move in and maybe grab an offensive tackle like O'Neal out of Pittsburgh or something like that. But it just depends. You've got some extra picks, and I don't know that you would be necessarily moving anyone on the roster to do it. Because I've seen people, what if they trade JJ or Whitney Merciless? Or I don't know why you're trying to get rid of all the good defensive players that this team has. But to me, a trade would involve other picks. Like they have those multiple third-round picks and maybe a pick from next year to move up if they're going to do it.
Yeah, I think that's the best way we can sum it all up. Because that was a pretty long question, too. There's a lot of variables in there to try and figure out. Nick, anything to add?
No, I wasn't even paying attention. I had an email to send, sorry. And we got to go to break.
Okay. Well, there you go. So let's do that. We'll go to break. We'll come back with a whole lot more. Final hour of the show before we turn over to Fred, AJ, Jung, and the Blitz. We can get into some NFL draft if you have any other questions. I've got a couple things that have popped up from things that you might want to know about before you get ready for that first round tomorrow. And, of course, the Astros are still playing. The Rockets are playing tonight. Plenty to talk about tomorrow, too. So make sure you keep it here each and every day. It's ESPN 97.5.
Looking for something to do this weekend? Visit culturemap.com to find out everything going on in the city. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, a little more than a half hour to go in the show. It is the big show that is Nick, Joel, Barry, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Verlander still throwing a gem. 4-0, 1-2 out. Bottom of
4-1.
Oh, it is 4-1.
4-1.
How'd that happen?
Yeah. Pujols hit a home run, which, like I was saying earlier, solo home run. See, Joe Smith, that's how you pitch.
Yeah. You know what, Barry?
You give up a solo home run to Pujols.
When you were talking about that earlier.
He struck out Trout and got upped into ground out, and then he gives up a solo home run. That doesn't hurt you.
Well, when you were talking about it earlier, too, I forgot to mention this. But the fact that they went in and mentioned how big of buddies he is with Trout, I figured with Buddy Ball and all the different sports these days, that might be one where he lets up a little bit. Instead, he strikes Trout out, and I'm like, oh, dude, now he's golden because Trout was really hitting him hard anyway. And then he goes and walks a guy and sets it up. And like you said, then he sets the table for real disaster and then gives up the bomb. And you're like, what the hell was that?
Mm-hmm. Hey, I just wanted to tell you guys, the headliner this week is, his name is Jersey. And that's his name. And
real name or Haitian, stage name?
I don't know. I think it's a stage name. But he's the Haitian sensation. And Jersey is a cool dude, first of all. Like, the nicest guy. But Jersey smokes a lot of weed. Okay. So I say that to say, one, I'm really glad Gal doesn't drug test. And two, if I'm late any day this week, I apologize in advance. Maybe it wasn't my fault.
Well, there's your built-in excuse. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So you've
absolutely. I'm judging a contest tonight, too. I'm kind of excited about this. I've never gotten to judge a comedy contest. I've always been in them and lost. So I'm actually getting to judge tonight.
4-2.
It's going to be me right there.
Yeah. 4-2. Verlander just gave up a double, too. So his day may be coming.
I was looking at this preview, this draft preview on ESPN. Mm-hmm. And Sarah Barshop, who we've had on the show several times, friend of the show, ESPN usually just pulls their writers for these articles that they'll post. Like, this one is NFL draft predictions for all 32 teams. Who's trading up and more? Because I wanted to see, was there any news or rumors out there about the Texans trading up? Because I think what it is it's fans' wishful thinking, and rightfully so, that, boy, it would be great if they could move into the second round and have at least one decent pick before, you know, rounds 3-7. But I found this interesting. Sarah Barshop wrote, and I'll quote this here from the ESPN article, Houston has three QBs on the roster right now, Watson, veteran Brandon Weeden, and Joe Webb. Watson's expected to be on the field at some point this spring, but the Texans found out the hard way that they didn't have a capable backup on the roster after Watson tore his ACL, finishing 1-8 without him. Houston could use a third or fourth round pick on a quarterback.
I don't disagree. I read it the other day with you, like you were saying. And look, I think there's a reason why they've, I believe, and correct me if I'm wrong, someone will, of course, but I think that they've already interviewed and sat down with Lamar Jackson. And I think that the big thing is exactly what I've said in the past that I will say once again, and that is that if you're going to run a certain offensive system, and that offensive system, regardless of who your quarterback is tailored to play a certain way, it completely defeats any purpose that you have as an offense. If that main quarterback gets hurt and you don't continue to run that system, you try and get someone else who either doesn't have the skill set to run it, or you have to completely alter it on the fly because you don't have that player anymore. I think that they should continue to run the system, find a player that's a poor man's version of Deshaun Watson or can still run the system the same way.
Yeah, I mean, last time they went out and got a quarterback in the fourth round, it was Tom Savage. So just keep that in mind as you contemplate drafting a quarterback in the fourth round. I realize that you've got to have a backup, and I think we're in agreement on the fact that it should be someone capable of continuing the system that you're currently built to run.
Right.
But I think if they got Lamar Jackson in the third or fourth round, that would be a good value for him. I really do. But at the same time, there's a reason that those quarterbacks fall to that round, that teams probably know stuff that we don't. It's rare that you'll see a guy drafted in the fourth round and be a really good quarterback in the NFL for any sustained length of time.
Yeah.
So
I think we're on the same page. All right. Yeah. Okay, so we've got a half hour to go to the show. And speaking on that and the draft, I did find an article that was interesting in terms of those late-round picks that you mentioned, and even later when you get into the likes of Tom Brady. But some of the best late-round picks in draft history, and there's some interesting names on that list. We can get to that. We can get to a lot of things. And if there's something on your mind you want to get off your chest real quick, 713-780-3776, HRNP listener line. Call, text, hit us on Twitter. Final half hour is right around the corner, ESPN 97.5.
The This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, here we go. Final half hour of the show. Barry, Nick, and Joel on a way back Wednesday. Nick picking up the pieces in hour number three, but putting up a good effort as everybody has chimed in.
Wow, he got three votes on the text line as for a win.
Game over. You submitted two songs.
Five. Songs. He got five votes and then one on Twitter. So, yeah, I think it's pretty obvious Nick won today. Sucks.
Sucks to be good. Actually, it doesn't. Look at the face Joel is making right now. You know how he gets all butthurt when he loses way back Wednesday.
No, I don't. I don't. You guys are the guys that get more tense about it than me and our Twitter.
You're not going to be able to hide your emotions anymore. Once the stream goes live, Joel.
Yep. Fine. Oh, I can't wait.
Barry, by the way, you have no idea what kind of tan you're going to get when you get back.
is it bad?
It literally is. Yeah, it's like being in a dark tent.
It's three massive lights in the studio.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Two cameras. And the remarkable thing is they never asked us if we had any issue with it or not. It's just happening.
You know, it's funny. When I went into radio, I never thought I was going into TV.
Yeah. A lot of people that said that about when they went into like being a journalist. They didn't think that they were going to get into radio. And look at them now. They're all experts.
That's true. I didn't think I would be a journalist when I started radio, but apparently.
Good point. And a video star from time to time. You never know.
I hate writing, but I do it every week now. So there you go.
I do as well. Yeah. Your boy Jake Mariznick just went yard again.
Well, that's because he's a power hitter.
No question about it. Big bomb, 5-2 Astros.
Did you see this story about LeVar Ball pulling his sons out of Lithuania?
I did not. But you're the one that's breaking your own rule right now, by the way.
I am. But, it's newsworthy. The quote was, "We're not going to waste our time, but tell me if this sounds familiar. It's because he was having issues with the coach."
Of course he was.
Yep.
So LeVar is pulling his sons, LiAngelo and LaMelo, out of Lithuania with two games left in the season. LiAngelo had become a leading scorer in the LKL league, but had missed time with an ankle injury. LaMelo wasn't getting much playing time. LeVar's quote was, "We're not going to waste our time no more." LeVar told LiAngelo injured his ankle. LaMelo didn't get any playing time, so LeVar decided to take all his sons back to LA. Lonzo is visiting his family right now. They're set to leave Sunday, Monday. What a circus. What a sideshow he continues to be.
Well, here's the thing.
And then LeVar Ball told he was happy with Lithuania, its people and BC organization. I just don't get along with the coach. Yeah, you don't get along with any coach.
Right.
Idiot.
Got your high school coach fired that coached your boys. You know, has had issues with Steve Alford. Now he's got issues. He had issues with Luke Walton. And the funny thing is they asked LiAngelo, you know, about, because he's declared for the NBA draft, because you have to declare. It's a formality, but you have to declare. Not that he's going to get drafted, but then when they talked to him about it, he said, you know, every team I've ever played for, I'd led them in scoring. I anticipate doing the same thing when I get to the NBA. The pipe dream that he has made his kids believe is ridiculous.
At some point, though, you got to be the kid. I mean, because these are adults. I mean, these kids are grown men, right? I mean, at some point, I would tell my dad, "Stop, dude. I flew all the way to Lithuania, and now you're complaining about this coach." Like, at some point, you got to just step up and do what's best for you.
Well, and then Lonzo because his dad has an issue with tattoos, and I think LiAngelo got the first one, and his dad went nuts. So Lonzo went and got a couple of tattoos, albeit on the inside of his wrist or something like that, but said he had to support his brother, but that his dad really doesn't get to him and he isn't a problem. You're a grown-ass man making your own money now with the Lakers. You got to be able to cut the cord. Just separate, because this dude is nothing but trouble.
It's amazing to me that they continue to let their father ruin their lives, because let's face it, this kid, he's not getting any seasoning in high school. Now he's been pulled from the league that he was in, where he wasn't playing anyways because he wasn't ready yet. I mean, you could watch what he was doing in high school and realize he wasn't ready yet. this dad is going about it all wrong, and all at the expense of these kids.
Yeah,
and
no.
I'm with you. At some point, you've got to step up and be like, Dad, look, just stop, man. Just stop. Let us do our thing. You got us here, but we'll take it from here. And by the way, I just wanted to see, like, Big Baller Brand is not something you see a lot. Obviously, they're not doing well marketing or selling their clothing and sneakers and all that.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to, I Googled around to see what I could find. Back in January, there was an article in SI where it says, Big Baller Brand was given an F rating by the Better Business Bureau. Big Baller Brand was given 1 out of 5 stars based on 44 product reviews on the Better Business Bureau, which were all labeled as negative.
Not surprising.
Womp, 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 womp. So, yeah. Well, I'm curious if anybody listening to this show bought sneakers or a t-shirt and how it's held up.
Well, Arian like, Foster must listen to the show. He did.
If you bought a BBB shirt, is the like letters coming off already or fading?
I did
say
I saw the
sneakers,
it once.
How are they holding up?
I saw it once in Midtown, a T-shirt,
a BBB shirt.
Mm-hmm.
I've never seen one live.
And weren't they selling those shirts?
Honest to God, I've never seen
$75.
Yeah, they're ridiculous. I remember when I saw it the first time in Midtown, I was like, I literally kept looking at the guy because I was so in shock.
You're like, I've never seen an a-hole in person.
Yes. I just could not believe it. But he did respond, I think, to those Better Business Bureau reports. I think he said he responded to all of them or something like that. And
yeah. Well, you know what? Well, the fact of the matter is 44 product reviews are probably all horrible.
Yeah.
I'd be curious if anybody's gear has held up.
Well, yeah, exactly. I mean, if you're going, the thing is, even if it's held up and there was just a little bit like a string coming out of the T-shirt, you're going to get heat for it because you're charging so much.
Charging so much for knockoff Kobe's. Because they look like a few editions ago, yep. Kobe Bryant shoes for Nike, and yet you're charging $500 a pair. It's absolutely ridiculous.
Well, not only, I mean, who are you, Kanye West, charging $100 for a T-shirt? You can't do that.
Yeah.
We sparked up a couple of LeVar Ball collars, sir.
Yeah, I see a couple of them. So,
What? What?
Against my better judgment, White Magic is first. What's up?
Hey, what's going on? Man, no hard feelings. Joe, no hard feelings.
It's all good, brother. What do you got?
Hey, man.
That's my favorite call when it starts off, no hard feelings, Joel.
Who would you rather have as your agent? LeVar Ball or Kawhi Leonard's uncle?
Damn.
I think Kawhi Leonard's uncle, simply because no matter what he's doing to throw shade, he's not making it about him, center of attention, drawing attention, and constantly putting his mug out there. As well as manipulating the situation.
It's a good question, but it's also unfair because I always believe that family members being representatives and agents for other family members, I just think it's a bad idea.
Vince Young. I keep saying it.
It's not just Vince Young,
no,
though.
I'm
it's
not
a
saying,
lot
but
of
there's
people.
Another example right there.
Yeah, I mean, it's just hard. It's hard to say. It's a good question, and we appreciate the call, but I just think having your father or your uncle or, you know, your mom being your agent, it never goes well. And it eventually ends up in a breakup in most cases.
All right.
Yeah, I would, if I had to answer the question, I'm going to go just because of the sheer volume of hate I have for LeVar Ball.
Yeah.
I would go with Kawhi's uncle because he ain't my uncle.
Yeah, no doubt. All right. Mark wants to get in here on the same topic. What's up, Mark?
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Good, good.
No, I would say as obnoxious as LeVar is, as crazy as is, how aggravating he is, at the end of the day, from the inside of his family, he really hasn't done nothing wrong. You know, he talked his son into the number one pick. He's really talked his family into every position they have. So as crazy as he is, he's really the reason why his family's in the position they are right now, only because he stepped up and just took the power from the media. He just started just, like you said, manipulating the situation. And the thing is that when it flipped to the other side, when everybody wanted Lonzo from high school all the way up, they didn't have a problem trying to use Lonzo to create money and generate it themselves. But, of course, his father's like, hey, we're not going to let nobody else touch it. I'm going to act the way I want to act. And it's a problem because we know that if another agent was doing the same thing, it wouldn't be as big as an issue. I think it's just because of his dad. And he's, you know, it looks like, okay, I'm just coddling my children. At the end of the day, he's like, hey, I'm the reason why my kids got this money. I'm going to keep doing this until it really becomes a problem. I'm sure we're never going to see him change.
I mean, Mark, here's the thing. He was the number two pick, and he was, of all the three boys, he was the guy with the most ability. And I, look, he's the LeVar is a marketing genius for what he's been able to do, like it or not, because he's gotten everybody talking about him. Now, he's really going to impress me if the two other kids get a look in the NBA and they get legitimate tryouts, and or if his master plan comes to be where they all play on the same team. Because the other two, I don't think, have nearly the talent of Lonzo. And that's where you're going to see if it's really effective. Because Lonzo was going to get drafted in the top five no matter what. You may have a point that he got him to L.A., which is where he wanted him all along. But other than that, the real genius would be if he gets those other two boys' tryouts and they get good looks in the NBA.
I think the middle kid might end up in the G League, possibly, you know, and get a sniff down there. I just don't think the youngest will. I think as the Ball family tree, as you get further out on the branch, it seems like it's getting weaker. He is a marketing genius, but
I hate saying it, but he is.
You can say, and to the caller's point, you can say that he's not going to stop doing it until it's detrimental. But you've now ruined your kids' education. Yep. They can't go to college. Yep. They're never going to be NBA players or stars. You've ruined two lives now. And at what point do you stop?
And to your point of it being detrimental, it kind of is. He set a bar for Lonzo that was so high. He said the Lakers would make the playoffs. They were a 35-win team. Lonzo obviously didn't perform to what a number two draft pick, you know, status is. So is he really not detrimental to his team?
Because he could have caused a rift between Luke Walton, because he said his son needs more playing time, needs the ball in his hands more when he wasn't putting up numbers. So you're absolutely right there as well. And that has to be taken into consideration. And the detriment is, to Barry's point, that the youngest one starts to believe the hype, doesn't have to work as hard, and besides not going to college, starts believing he's a lot better than he is and quits doing the things and putting the work in to get better on the things that he has to get better at, and therefore stifles his own progressions to try and get to someday make the NBA.
You know what I feel bad about is...
none of it.
The oldest... Well, none of it. But the oldest now, everyone else is... The Big Baller brand is going to implode and go away. The younger kids are never going to have a career where they make any kind of money. And the oldest is going to be taking care of the family, basically, now.
Yep.
All because dad couldn't stay out of it.
Unless that Facebook Live thing's making him some coin.
No, that's over with, I think.
Well, I hope so.
I don't know if he'll get the...
I said that tongue-in-cheek, but, you know.
I don't know if he'll get the, you know, bust label, but if he's averaging 10 points a game for the next 3 or 4 seasons, people are going to be not happy.
Could have had Jason Tatum, guys. Could have had Jason Tatum.
Fred Williams on Twitter said, I'm listening on the app, so I know I'm a little late, but I just saw a guy at the gym with a BBB shirt on. Just say I'd rather go to Walmart and get one before I bought one of those. I'm with you.
Yep,
that right would be hilarious too. If it's in Walmart.
And then I said that guy must. Yeah, right?
Or Ross.
But if you buy a BBB shirt and work out at the gym, you probably work on that thigh machine, the one that only the chicks do.
Yeah. All right, so we got one segment to go on the show. We're going to turn it over to Fred, AJ Jung, and the Blitz at 4, but you don't have to do anything but leave your station right where it's at. And speaking of working it out, you know what, guys? Some of you may be suffering from a little ED. You've taken the little blue pills, and you're not seeing the results. ED is an issue many men deal with, and the people at Greater Texan Health can help. Greater Texan Health are going to meet with you in person, put together a customized plan that's going to help end your ED today. Right now, they're offering a free confidential exam and testing. Free. I said free. Confidential exam and testing. And if you want your testosterone check, they can do that as well. And the results are returned back to you in 30 minutes. You don't have to wait to be sent off to a lab. All you have to do is call them today, set up an appointment. Their state-of-the-art clinic is conveniently located on South Main, right over by NRG Stadium. And if their recommendations don't work, you will receive a full refund. So that's it. Free appointment. And a full refund if things don't go your way. Call them, set up an appointment. It's a free exam and testing. 713-554-4915. 713-554-4915. Check them out online. GreaterTexanHealth.com. Greater Texan Health. Once a Texan, always a Texan.
You can now listen to all your favorite shows on the Amazon Echo.
Oh, sweet, dude.
Just say, Alexa, open ESPN 97.5.
Now playing ESPN 97.5.
Yeah.
pocket full of stones. Got a pocket full of stones. Got a pocket full of stones. I got a pocket full of stones.
When I first started.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, final segment of the show. It's Barry, Nick, and Joel. It's The Usual Suspects, taking you up till 4 o'clock. The Blitz will take you home till 7. Guys, because I mentioned it, I just want to get through this, but there was a list on For the Win of the greatest late-round picks in NFL history. And some of them, I mean, it's kind of hard because when you go back in the day, the draft wasn't as intense and as serious. But, like, number one was Deacon Jones, who was a 14th rounder in 1961. Johnny Unitas, a 9th rounder in 55. But Steve Largent was a 4th rounder. Mike Webster, the center for the Steelers and the Hall of Famer, was a 5th rounder. Again, Bart Starr. But Kevin Green, the linebacker, a 5th rounder. Zach Thomas, the linebacker from A&M, a 5th rounder. Richard Sherman was a 5th round pick. Antonio Brown was a 6th round pick from the Steelers, number 195 in 2010. Shannon Sharp was a 7th round pick. Terrell Davis, a 6th round pick. Those are pretty ridiculously good picks at that point. And the last, Kirk Cousins with a 4th round pick, Rodney Harrison, a 5th round pick. But some of those, man, I mean, if you can pick up a player that like a Shannon Sharp in the 7th round or an Antonio Brown in the 6th round, that's doing something.
Where did Brady rank on the list?
They just said he's obviously head and shoulders above everybody else. They didn't even put him on the list. They said, aside from Tom Brady, here are 17.
What?
Just let you know there.
Whoa. Tom Brady doesn't make the list?
Because he's better than any of the 17.
He doesn't make the list of the best late-round NFL draft
Essentially
picks.
What they're saying is he is the best of all time. So aside from Tom Brady, here are 17 others.
Oh, okay. All right. That makes sense. I was about to say, shut For the Win down, because that
side and is some null of the things and void. That, some of the players, because I'm not going to get to all 17, but Harry Carson's a Hall of Famer. He was in the 4th round.
Okay.
Jared Allen.
Okay, I get it now.
Guys like Terrell Davis, a 6th round.
So they were just saying, all right, we all know the story of Tom Brady. Here's 17 others in order. Okay.
Shannon Sharp said, that's a BS, Skip. I'm definitely better than 12, Skip.
That's definitely stupid. I was looking at this thing that you had posted that led me to a thing on For the Win where they showed draft picks and needs and how many picks they have. Texans aren't alone, so take solace, Texans fans. There are other teams in similar situations than the Texans in the 2018 draft. The Kansas City Chiefs, no picks on day one, 3 picks on day two, just like the Texans, and 5 picks on day three in rounds 4 through 7. So the Texans have 3 picks on day two, just like the Chiefs. The Rams, be glad you're not a Rams fan. They have no picks on day one. They only have 1 pick on day two. 7 picks on day three. That's not how you get better as a football team with 1 pick.
But think about all the moves they made with trades.
That's rounds 1 through 3.
The Rams have gone crazy on trades and free agency.
I get it. But rounds 1 through 3, you have 1 pick and that's it.
Yeah, well, that's how you get some of the players you
got. And it's on day 2? Oof. That's ugly.
Yeah, I don't disagree.
Go ahead. So, Joel, I caught the end. This is a text. Joel, I caught the end of Friday's show where you brought up the point that Stern, what had happened if Stern hadn't vetoed the Chris Paul trade. Looked up the trade and didn't realize how big of a difference that would have made if it went through. My question is, has that ever happened before, and why did Stern veto the trade?
So the second part is easier than the first part, because I don't know if it's ever happened before per se. But the reason why David Stern vetoed it, he wasn't acting as the commissioner. He was acting as the owner of the New Orleans Pelicans, or at the point the New Orleans Hornets. At the point, that team was up for sale, and the league, because it had gone basically bankrupt, the league had taken over control of that team. So as the commissioner, yes, it was David Stern, but as the acting president and decision maker for the Pelicans, he vetoed the trade. So that was one that it was very weird extending circumstances, but it definitely changed the course of a lot of teams, including the Rockets, who were very thankful in retrospect looking back that it never went through, because your best player would have been Pau Gasol. You'd been paying for him for a long time. You'd have given up a ton of assets and current players, and you never would have been able to pull off the James Harden trade that got it all started. So that's where the point was being made.
By the way, everyone is Nick with the Slam Dunk Pocket Full of Stones. Pandering song. It just has the
pandering song. That's what you're gonna. That's what you're gonna do.
You should see him celebrating in the studio right now. By the way,
I am celebrating.
Nick killed it. Damn, Nick. He wins. Swanging in Greens Point, and Nick should be arrested for murder because he killed y'all on Throwback Thursday. That was from Skip. Which look.
That was from Skip. that was from Skip.
Yeah,
good win, Skip. Skip, you put it all together today, Skip. I like the way you do what you do, Skip.
And shout out to Alex Perkins. He said, hey, man, just wanted to thank you all for a great show. I'm moving to Austin. Don't know how much I'll be able to listen. Travel safe, dude. Thank you for listening, man.
Get the app, brother. You can listen to us every day. Get the app and listen to us every day. You can have some fun with it, too. So we appreciate that.
I don't know what this means.
What?
I don't know what this means, but somebody said, Vlad said, Barry, you're a cool dude, but your hatred for LeVar Ball will only make your teeth brown. I don't know what that means. Does LeVar Ball give you cavities?
He might have some bad toothaces. I haven't looked at him that close.
I don't know what make your teeth brown means.
Zach Thomas went to Texas Tech, right? Not A&M?
Yeah,
my bad.
Yeah, that's correct. Explain that, Vlad, because I don't understand that. And look, I want to vote for Nick. I do, because I think his list, like even it's legit good, but when you mix in a Layla in between all that other stuff, that's why I can't vote.
Trying
for
to keep
you.
It versatile, you know what I'm saying?
With Layla.
There's people that listen to that type of music. There's people that listen to hip hop. There's people that listen to country. I was going to throw a country song, but I didn't want to.
At least my versatile came with Prince.
I would have gone. Look, I had a Prince
song
sucked, on the
Joel.
List.
Yours
but
was the worst.
Kiss
the
my
people
ass,
have spoken.
I went straight past Suck It, right to Kiss My Ass today.
You did. Yeah. And then, you know what? I deserve that, but so did you after a terrible list. So,
oh God.
Well, I think it's safe to say Nick and I carried to the day when it
wait,
comes
wait,
to
Wait, there's no co-winners on Way Back Wednesday, Barry.
I'll give it to Nick. But
you didn't carry anything.
You
off the podium. Okay. All right, Layla.
Shout out to Broderick Rhodes, who came out of the closet, and good luck with his middle-aged white women chasing with weight issues. I hope that works out well for him. Appreciate Doc, but at the same time, Doc, we're running out of time, so we skipped over the ball issue. So thanks for calling. We'll get you next time around. We'll continue to go through the rest of the week without Barry in studio in Little Rock. But we'll have a good rest of the week. And so you guys can make sure you tune in again same time tomorrow. And every day, Monday through Friday, 1 to 4 p.m. For Barry, for Nick, y'all have a great night. I'm Joel. This is The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.